Welcome to Galaxy Radio, listener. If you've come here looking for an escape from the normal, you've come to the right place. Here on Galaxy Radio, anything can happen. Anything is possible. If you intend to stay for the duration of the story, I advise you get comfy, grab something to snack on, and buckle in for the ride. All musical credit goes to Mew. Check out his channel in the link in the description below. All stories here are created and written by Elisha Orozco. Any likeness to other stories is pure coincidence. No stories have been stolen or used without the author's permission here. Any form of re-uploading or reproduction of Galaxy Radio narration or Elisha Orozco's work is strictly prohibited without permission of Galaxy Radio or Elisha Orozco. Thank you and enjoy the show. The Hospital, Part 2. I walked out into the hallway, standing as tall and as confident as I could. There was no sign of Willie. And just as I thought that maybe Willie had gone, the familiar, terrifying sound of the clicking came. I watched as the abomination walked into view. It stood at the end of the hall, staring at me with a hideous smile, waiting for me to make a move. I stared right back, trying to look as intimidating as possible. Willie slowly walked up to me. I could tell he was enjoying every minute of the mental torture I was going through. He stopped mere inches from my face. His breath smelled like rot. Fake confidence can't hide fear. And you reek of fear, said Willie. You can't hurt me, I said. Pathetic. My very presence will break you like a stick. His words, interestingly enough, angered me. Instead of injecting fear into me, I found that I had a spiteful determination toward the beast. I don't fear you, I said with a hateful look in my eye. The thing was visibly taken aback by my sudden bravery. He looked at me with a renewed interest and said, You are the first person to stand up to me like this. Who told you that standing up to me stops my ability to kill you? Why do you care? I care because I want to know who's giving away my secrets. You may think I'm a monster, which I am, but you walking meatbags are my only source of food. I was cursed so that I could only consume mortal flesh. So I will ask once again, who told you?
The lonely voice in the shadows.
Oh, him. I would kill that little scum if I could. So I expect you want to be returned to your planet, or perhaps there's something else?
I just want to go home. Wherever home is.
You mean you don't remember? Interesting. What do you remember, human?
I don't really know.
You really don't remember anything?
Green? Lots of green, I think?
Well, in any case, I have to take you to Nagash if you want to get home. He's the only one that can send you back.
Who's Nagash?
He's the one that runs this place, and like I said, he's the one that can get you home. I'll take you to him, but you must do what I say.
Why are you doing this for me?
I'm required to bring anyone who is able to pass the test of fear to him.
Oh.
Follow me, we have a bit of a journey before us.
We walked out of the hospital into the desert wasteland, and to my surprise, the sun hadn't gone down. It had stayed the same. It seemed like Willie knew what I was thinking.
Time works differently here. If you even remember what time was like on Earth.
Earth. The name seems familiar.
It should. It's where you live. I have to say, out of all the people that have come here, you have the worst memory loss out of all of them. Even worse than the accursed Timothy Sallow.
Who's Timothy Sallow?
He's the most hated enemy of Nagash. To make a long and exhausting story short, he came here to this place like you did. Except he ended up near the town of Serenity. He led a rebellion against Nagash, destroying his castle in Mount Perception. After chasing Nagash into the lowlands, he took control of all the towns Nagash once ruled. He had control of the land for a time until Nagash let his army he had been building crashing down onto him. The battle was massive and its destruction immense. From the lowlands to the highlands, everything was left in ruin. Nagash had his sight taken from him by the hand of Timothy Sallow. Thankfully, Timothy was stopped before he could land the final blow by one of Nagash's soldiers. He was knocked into a portal to Earth that Nagash had opened. Timothy was gone, but the scar he left on these once fair lands never healed.
The ruin we stand in now is the result of a rebellious teenage boy and his extreme ideas.
He was a teenage boy?
In your human years, he was 16. A 16-year-old boy did all of this, I say, pointing out to the trash landscape around us.
When he left, he wasn't 16, 25, I believe, but to put it simply, yes. This destruction was the result of a 16-year-old boy sparking an uprising.
That's insane.
Indeed. For many peaceful years, Nagash ruled these lands, and under his just leadership, there was great prosperity for the people of the high and low lands.
I also would like to say that I wasn't always like this disgusting creature that stands next to you. I was once a great man of power. But in the wars that occurred, I was left scarred and disfigured. I fell into the hands of the Arnaku. The Arnaku are descendants of warlocks and witches. They would make their way through the aftermath of battlefields to search for bodies that could be used for the demented experiments. They found me wounded at the Battle of Mulkivik. Realizing my body was still in good shape, they took me to the dry lands where they live and they chopped and hacked till I looked like this. Then they put a spell on me that only allowed me to eat mortals who showed fear when facing me. They gave me as a peace offering a Nagash, and Nagash placed me at the abandoned hospital because of the high amount of people that appear from your dimension.
So Nagash put you there in that place to eat people.
It's the only way I can survive.
But how is it fair for the people who don't know that they can survive by standing up to you?
It's not. And that's how I get fed. I know it may seem wrong to you, but in the lowlands, anything goes.
That's horrible.
That's the way it is.
The rest of the trip was silent. As we progressed through the lowlands, I took in the scenery around me, noticing that the surrounding area was becoming more and more rocky. The sun had finally started to go down, and the shadows that had stayed still began to grow, covering the place in darkness. After a long while of walking in the moonlit wasteland, I saw a flickering torch off in the distance. The closer we got, the more lights came into view. The place was an encampment of some sort. It was set up on what I assumed to be a natural semicircle of large stones. The tents were made of an assortment of material ranging from plastic, cloth, and sheet metal. The people that were in the camp were dressed in an armor that I'd only seen in sci-fi movies. Some eyed me and Willie with a curious look, while others stared with a more malevolent intent. We made our way to the end of the camp towards a large tent. There were two guards in front of the tent flap door. Willie quickly walked up ahead of me and talked to one of the guards. They exchanged a couple words, casting a few glances at me. Once they had finished, Willie motioned for me to come. I followed him into the tent, and standing before us was the tallest man I had ever seen. He was easily over 8 feet, maybe even 9 feet. He was clothed in a long, dark brown robe. His eyes were covered by bandages, and his hair was long and matted. Aside from his height, everything about him was somewhat human.
Most glorious Nagash, I bring before you the first mortal man to have passed the test of fear, said Willie.
How did you pass the test, mortal?
I stood up to Willie.
Who told you the way to pass the trial?
The voice, I said with a little fear in my voice. Nagash didn't reply, but instead walked over to a chest that sat in the corner. He opened it, pulling out an odd-looking mirror. He then walked back to me and handed me the mirror.
Do not look into the mirror until I tell you so. It's your only way home and your only way to gain back your memory.
Okay.
Even though you passed the trial, there is a fee that must be paid.
When you get back to your home planet, you must do something for me.
What do I have to do?
You must face the mirror I have given to you toward another human being. Do not question, simply do as you are told or face the consequences. Do we understand each other?
Yes, I said shakily.
Good. Now look into the mirror and do not forget what I have told you.
Doing as I was told, I slowly lifted up the mirror and looked into it. I saw my own reflection. It was strange seeing my face. I had almost forgotten what I had looked like. There suddenly was a loud bang and a hissing sound, and I suddenly found myself standing in a dark and empty alleyway. I walked out of the alleyway into the night. I hadn't forgotten what Nagash had told me, and I knew what I had to do. I spotted a man walking on the sidewalk across the street from me. He hadn't noticed me, but I had noticed him. That was a couple hours ago.
I've been writing down what has happened to me in hope that the police will understand better. I didn't mean for the man to disappear, but I was too afraid of what Nagash might do. When the police find this note, I hope they'll understand what I've been through. I'm not a murderer, nor am I a kidnapper. I know it seems crazy, but it's the truth. I've left the mirror in my bedroom under my bed. Once you find it, destroy it. Do not look into it. That's all for now. You'll never find me. At least in this world. I'm very sorry. Sincerely, J.M.
You've been listening to Galaxy Radio. If you enjoyed this audio presentation of The Eye in the Hallway, please let us know in the comments below. For more episodes, be sure to subscribe to Galaxy Radio's YouTube channel for more mind-gripping tales of horror, or you can head over to our Spotify podcast, link in description. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again.